You know, we all talk about troublesome times, and we live in a day and an age where times are troublesome. They really, really are. And we have been so blessed in times past that sometimes it is extremely difficult for us to deal with troublesome times. If I were to ask you the question this morning, have you had troublesome times lately? Let me share with you something I read the other day that really was a troublesome time for someone. I think you would appreciate it. The story goes that a man was working on his motorcycle on his patio and his wife was in the kitchen. The man was actually racing the engine on the motorcycle when it accidentally slipped into gear. Now, for all you fellas that drive motorcycles, I hope you're listening up here. The man was holding on to the handlebars and was dragged through the glass patio door along with the motorcycle dumped onto the floor inside the house. The wife, hearing the crash, ran into the dining room and found her husband lying on the floor cut and bleeding. The motorcycle laying right next to him and the shattered patio door. The wife ran to the phone and summoned the ambulance. Because they lived on a fairly large hill, the wife went down the 7 flights of the stairs to the street to escort the paramedics to her husband. After the ambulance arrived and transported the man to the hospital, the wife uprighted the motorcycle and pushed it outside. Seeing the gas was spilled on the floor, the wife got some paper towels, blotted up the gasoline, and threw the paper towels into the commode. The man was treated and released to come home. Upon arriving home, he looked at all the shattered glass in the patio door and the damage that was done to his motorcycle. He became despondent, went to the bathroom, sat down on the toilet, and smoked a cigarette. You can see where this is going. After finishing the cigarette, he flipped it between his legs into the toilet bowl while seated. The wife, who was in the kitchen, heard the loud explosion and her husband screaming. She ran to the bathroom and found her husband lying on the floor. His trousers had been blown away and he was suffering burns all over his back, legs, and groin area. The wife ran again to get the phone to call the ambulance. The same paramedic crew was dispatched. And when the wife met them at the street, the paramedics loaded the husband onto the stretcher and began carrying him down the street. While they were going down the stairs to the street, accompanied by his wife, one of the paramedics asked the wife how the husband, how he had burned himself, and one of the paramedics laughed so hard that they slipped and tripped with the stretcher, dumping the husband out. He fell down the remaining stairs and broke his arm. Now, how many of you would know that that would be a disparaging time? How many of you would say that that was troublesome times? You probably would. Well, believe it or not, back during the days of a prophet in the Old Testament by the name of Elijah in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, we read of a man who was going through despondent times. Times were not good. We'd like to believe that if we're Christians, that all of our days are going to be good. We would have no problems. We would encounter nothing at all that would be adverse. But we know better than that because we know as God's people, adverse times, difficult times, troublesome times are going to come. And they did in the life of this great prophet. But this was not a time for this man to go into hiding. It was not a time for him to go into seclusion and have a pity party. Do you know there are many in today's world that do? There are many people in today's world, when they go through their troubles, they want to isolate themselves from everybody. They do not want to have anything to do with society or anyone else. And we get on this pity party and we believe that we adjust in what we're doing. It is a time when we ought to energize our faith. It is a time when we ought to fortify our hope. It is a time when we ought to activate our love. And it is a time when we ought to enjoy our peace. I am afraid that many of us today are lamenting all the bad things that are going on in our time. And as we were talking in our Bible class this morning, all we can see are the bad things that are going on. Let me tell you something this morning. You are a blessed people. Do you believe that? Say amen. We are. a blessed people, and we ought to be eternally grateful for all the great and wonderful blessings of God. We go through troublesome times. There was a man by the name of Jeremy Taylor, who actually was a 17th century English cleric, who was severely persecuted for his faith. Now, I don't know if you believe it or not, but I can tell you that those of us who are children of God have become the butt of many jokes, and there are people who speak evil of those who claim to do good. Well, they did of this great man named Jeremy Taylor. And he made, you know, his house had been burned, his family had been left destitute, his property had been confiscated, and still in all of this, he could see the great blessings of God. He made this statement. He said, "They have not taken away my mercy, my countenance. They have not taken away my cheerful spirit. They have not taken away a good conscience. They have still left me with the providence of God and his promises, my hopes of heaven, and my charity to them too. And I still sleep at night. I digest my food. I eat, I drink, I read, I meditate. And he that has so many causes for joy." He said, "And I am thankful eternally that these have not been taken away." I'm going to tell you something this morning. Even in the midst of the darkest trial, there is light at the end of the tunnel, and the sky is still blue above the clouds. Now, the prophet Elijah didn't understand that at first. Elijah had been a great man of God. He was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. He was a man who had gone up against Baal and his prophets. He was a man who had accomplished great things for God. But you know what? Even in the midst of all of the great things, he made five mistakes. And these are mistakes that are so common to you and to me today. And that's what I want to talk about. I will tell you, if you were to go back and read the book of 1 Kings, and you would read about the life of Elijah, and especially in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, you would read that Elijah was a man, first of all, who was guilty of throwing a pity party. You know, sometimes we go through trials. You know, we want to have a party and invite everybody over. We want to invite everybody over to want them to pity us and talk about, you know, "Oh, woe is you, I feel so sorry for you." Let me tell you something. Don't invite God to a pity party, because God does not come. He does not attend pity parties. And he did not attend the pity party of Elijah. He did not. In verse 4, he tells God, "Lord, I've had enough. I've had enough." How many times have you and I experienced problems and we feel like we have come to the end of the road? We have reached the end of the rope, and we don't want to hold on any longer. Well, Elijah was there, and he's saying unto God, he said, "Lord, I've had enough. You see the problems that I have, and I'm ready to let go." But you know what? Now is not the time to let go. Now is the time to hold on. Now is the time to be tenacious. Now is the time to never, ever give up and to realize that God is working on us. Someone told me one time, "Have you ever thought about what you want put on your tombstone?" I'm not sure that I've really thought a whole lot about that. But I had a lady tell me one time, she said, "You know what I want them to put on my tombstone? I want them to put on my tombstone, end of construction. Thank you for your patience." I thought, boy, you know, God is constructing us every day, isn't he? And every trial that we have to face in life, it is a part of that construction. And we just have to be patient and to realize that God is going to get us through it. We should also realize that we should not become despondent. We should not get mad at someone else because we are having problems. I read on Craigslist the other day. Believe it or not, this was an ad that appeared on Craigslist. Obviously, this woman was having a Maalox moment. I don't know. But anyway, she said, "We'll trade brand new, never been worn wedding ring and engagement ring set for a handgun." Elijah was throwing a pity party. And there are a lot of people in our world today that are having their pity party. They get themselves in a big mess, and they believe that everybody else is responsible, and so we want you to come over and pity us in what we are doing and what's going on. many of the things that we count as spiritual warfare is nothing more than a real pity party. Let me tell you something else Elijah did. Not only was Elijah having a pity party, but Elijah was a man who had a tendency to live in the past. If you go back to verse 10 and verse 14, Elijah is saying, he said, there have been times in the past when I've been very zealous for God. You know what? God is not concerned about your zeal in the past, but he's concerned about your zeal right now. He is concerned about what you're doing right now for him. A lot of people, as we often say, rest on their laurels. They talk about all the great accomplishments that they've made for God. Elijah was doing that. Sometimes we need to realize that things were not as good and those accomplishments were not as great, but they then maybe then as much as we made them up in our minds to be. Many times we would rather glory in the past accomplishments than to fight for our future. Don't live in the past. It is one of the worst mistakes that people make. People talk about all the good things that they have done for God in the past. Let me ask you a question right now. What are you doing for God today? What do you plan to do for God tomorrow? Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth unto the things that are before. He said, I press forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, my Lord. We just need to be focused on the right thing. And you don't focus on the past. Sometimes people, when they focus on the past, think about all the bad things that people have done to them. And sometimes many of those problems that they experience are self-induced. And they want to blame everybody. I heard about a man one time who was taking his little grandson through the cemetery of all places. And when he walked through that cemetery, he walked over to this man's grave and he said, now son, he said, I want you to know something. Here lies an honest man. And he said, an honest man, Grandpa? He said, yeah, he's real honest. I loaned him $50 one time and he worked all of his life to pay it back, and he paid every dime of that $50 back, and I'm sure that that man is in heaven right now. And the little boy said, boy, that's great, Grandpa. And as they walked on through the cemetery, they came to another grave. And the grandpa said, now, son, I want you to know that this man is a man of a different sort. This man is a dishonest man. He is not a man of character. He is not a man of integrity. And the little boy said, well, why is that true, Grandpa? And he said, well, he said, I loaned this man $50, and he never, ever paid it back, and I am sure that he is in hell today. And the little boy looked up at his grandpa, and he said, my, Grandpa. But he said, you know what? You're blessed. And the grandpa looked at the little boy and said, well, I'm blessed? Why would you think that would be true? He said, Grandpa, he said, wherever you go, to heaven or hell, you're going to have some money to draw on. Elijah was a man who threw pity parties. And Elijah was a man who lived in the past. But Elijah, thirdly, was a man who compared himself to other people. You know what? That's one of the worst things in the world we can do. Sometimes parents do that with their children. They would take a child maybe that's been somewhat of an achiever, and they would say to another one, can't you be like your brother? Or can't you be like your sister? And we start comparing them to someone else. We start comparing our own lives to someone else. Be who you are. People will never ever find happiness and joy in life as long as they compare themselves to other people. Whether you're comparing yourself to their good or whether you're comparing yourself yourself to their bad. And a lot of people do that. Some people say, well, why can't I be like them? And they lose their joy. And sometimes when they are convicted of their sin, they will often say, well, I'm not as bad as someone else over there. And they compare themselves. Elijah compared himself in verse 14. But then number four, he began blaming other people for his trouble. How many of you have ever blamed other people for your trouble? Most people do. And you know what? That is a mindset from the very beginning of time. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, who did Adam blame? His wife. His wife. Maybe that was just. Who knows? No, I'm teasing. But he did blame his wife. He said, you know, God, the one you've given me, she caused me to sin. But in actuality, he'd really blame God, had he not? God, if you hadn't given me this woman, this would have never happened. But sometimes we have a tendency to blame other people for our troubles. And many of our troubles, again, are self-induced in life. You know what? When we sin, we will reap the consequences of our sin. When we do wrong, there is a principle born out in the book of Galatians chapter 6 that says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And there's another passage over in the book of Numbers recorded by Moses that says, be sure your sin will find you out. You can only hide your sin from people part of the time. You'll never be able to hide it all the time. It will eventually disclose itself. And one of the worst mistakes we can make is blame other people for our sin. We need to stand up and be accountable before God for our own wrong. Jezebel is chasing him. The Israelites had abandoned him, so he thought, the problem was not with me, but it's with everybody else. Jezebel wanted the life of Elijah. She wanted him out of the way because he had convicted her of her sin. But we know in that story who prevailed. It wasn't Jezebel. Dogs licked up her blood. But it was the prophet of God. But she blamed everybody. And Elijah did too. Sometimes we blame maybe a husband or a wife or children for what we do in terms of sin. Sometimes women will say, well, you know what? I wouldn't have done that if my husband had treated me like he ought to treat me. Or a husband would say, well, you know what? I would have been more faithful to my wife if my wife had treated me like a wife ought to treat her husband. Quit blaming everybody else. I've learned that when you point a finger at someone else, you've got three fingers pointing back at self. Sometimes people will go to great lengths to run from their sin, but you can't run far enough. It will follow you. It will track you down. But there's another thing Elijah did when you read this story. Number five, he was a man who exaggerated the problem. You ever exaggerate your problems? We call it making mountains out of what? Molehills. Yeah, you're right. And we do that a lot, don't we? Do you know the difference between a big problem and a little problem? If I'm having a problem, it is a big problem. If you're having a problem, it's a little problem. It's kind of like lies, isn't it? If I tell a lie, it's a little white lie. If you tell a lie, it's a big black lie. Elijah thought he was the only one left that had not bowed the knee to Baal. Read in verse 10 through 14. He said, I am only left. I am the only one. But he wasn't. There were many that had not bowed the knee to idolatrous worship and to Baal worship. Let me share with you in closing this morning some things that I think that we can do to turn our pity into praise. You want to get out of that mode of blaming other people and having a pity party and you know, exaggerating all your problems. Let me tell you what you need to do. First of all, you need to check your pulse. Do you know that there are people who did not wake up this morning in Anderson County? They didn't. Their destiny was sealed because their heart stopped beating and they drew their last breath. Check your pulse. If your heart is still beating, then you start praising God and thanking God for life itself. You want to get out of the pity mode and into the praise mode? Look at the condition of others in our world. Sometimes when we think we have it so bad, and we've been hearing a lot of complaints on television about people who talk about all the problems that are going on in America, and there are many of them. I'm not foolish enough to deny that. But I'm telling you, when we talk it up, instead of talking it down, it gets worse. Look at the condition of other people in the world and think about how blessed you are. You were able to get up this morning. You were able to eat breakfast, and if you didn't, it was your choice. And as I told them this morning in Bible class, you know where the next meal's coming from. The activity building. You drove a car here this morning, or you got here. The price of gasoline may be high, but think about the price of gasoline in America and the price of gasoline in Europe. You just think about how blessed we are in this country. You want to get out of the pity mode? Look at the conditions of other people. You want to get out of the pity mode? Be careful what you say. The Bible says that the life and death are in the power of the tongue. Sometimes people say evil and corrupt things, and they malign the character of other people when they themselves are culprits. The book of Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful, the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You want to get out of the pity mode? Be careful what you think about. You know, I don't mind listening to the news, and I can listen to it to a point. But there are times when I have to turn it off because it's so depressing. Do y'all find that way? Bad news. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are noble, and whatsoever things are right, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are admirable, if there is anything that is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things." What you think about goes into your mind, it gets into your heart, and it is expressed in your attitude. God wants us to see things in perspective. Now, you can be like Elijah, or you can reshape your mindset. Do you know that you and I have the power to do that? We do. You and I have the power to determine what we're going to be. We have the power to determine whether or not we're going to be joyful or whether we're going to be unhappy. That's a choice that we all make. No one else can make it for you. No one's going to create your happiness. They can never create a situation, environment where you're always going to be happy. Happiness is a state of mind. Joy is a state of mind. And it's something that God wants all of His children to experience. So you could be here possibly in this audience this morning, and you may be unhappy for some reason. If you'd really stop and think about it, you might say, you know what? Much of my unhappiness has been brought on, not by someone else, and I'm going to quit blaming them. It's brought on by me. That's the reason the Bible says the Word of God is a mirror. Isn't that interesting? Y'all got up this morning. I dare say probably every one of you looked in a mirror this morning. You did. I see a few that look like they didn't, but no, I'm teasing. But just about all of you looked in a mirror at some point. The Bible itself declares itself in the book of James as a mirror of God's Word. It is a mirror that we all ought to be looking into every day to see whether the problem is somewhere else or is the problem me. And if the problem rests with us, don't be like that man that James describes as a man who looks in the mirror and then he walks away and he forgets what manner of man he is. But he is a man who makes adjustments and corrections to his life. And that's what God wants us to do. Christ came into the world to give you life. You don't have to live in eternal death. And aren't you thankful this morning? I am. You can be a Christian this morning. You can be a follower of God, a happy life. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no happiness apart from being a child of God. There's not. But you can find that happiness this morning in serving God and loving Him. And that's an eternal happiness that will result in us going to heaven. And if you believe this morning that Christ is the Son of God, and you've been believing that for a long, long time, you've just not done anything with it, and you want to be a Christian this morning, that if you're willing to forsake what I've been talking about this morning, willing to quit blaming other people, and you're willing to give up the past and start thinking about your future, and you're willing to embrace the joy of God and fortify your hope and energize your faith and activate your love and enjoy the peace that God wants you to have, then you can come this morning to be baptized for the remission of your sin. And you can walk out of this building today renewed, regenerated, forgiven, with a new mindset that God will put in your heart. And if you're a Christian and you know that you've lost your joy, you want to reclaim it, you've lost it somewhere along the way, and maybe it came from some of those mistakes that Elijah made, then today would you reclaim it? You can, while we stand and while we sing.